Well, hey there, campers, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Camp Cryptid. I am your host, Erica Fett, and this week I have a really fun little episode lined up. First, I'd like to say real quick, thanks so much to everybody for listening to the last episode all about the Bermuda Triangle. I had a lot of fun reading all the comments from people who were in the Air Force and the Navy and who had some input on some weirdness that happens in that region. So I'd like to thank everybody so much. And also, I just made a post on Instagram about the Bermuda Triangle episode, and I've been listening to Kokomo like 4 times on repeat now. So I'm in a tropical state of mind, y'all. Now, this week, I do have a fun little urban legend episode all about the melon heads of Kirtland. And they're actually, it's an urban legend out of Ohio. And now when people think of Ohio, usually people think of like cornfields and you know, that's what comes to mind, you know, just flat, plain cornfields, lots of farms. However, Ohio is ripe with forests and many dense forests. That's also why Ohio is 7th on the most Bigfoot sightings in the U.S., which a lot of people don't realize. Ohio's definitely got some strangeness going on. Now, Ohio has cornfields, yes, but it also has tons of amazing forests and preserves to visit. There's Hocking Hills, Mohican, Salt Fork, Cedar Bog, and numerous other scenic national parks that are scattered around the state. Now, Salt Fork State Park is actually where the annual Bigfoot Conference of Ohio is held. And you know, usually when people think of Bigfoot sightings, they think of like, you know, the West Coast, like the Pacific Northwest, like, you know, Washington and Oregon, and even up towards Canada. But there are a lot of places in the Midwest that have a lot of weird sightings too. But that is not what today's episode is about. But I just kind of wanted to set up the scene for this weirdness that happens in Ohio. Because Ohio has some truly bizarre events and even spookier urban legends around the state. There are stories of the debris from Area 51 being transferred to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is one of my personal favorites. There's hundreds of Bigfoot and Grassman sightings, the story of the Crosswick Monster, the Loveland Frogman, there's lake monsters, and even mysteries like the Serpent Mound that are all in Ohio. Now, I know one thing is for sure, that every time there is a creepy movie, someone is from Ohio if it isn't actually set in Ohio. Think about the movie The Faculty. It happens in Ohio. Sydney Prescott from Scream 2 goes to college in Ohio. Super 8, the movie all about aliens that derail in a small town, is in Ohio. You know, that goes back to my Wright-Patterson Air Force Base getting all the debris and all the stuff from Area 51. Now, Trick or Treat, the amazing Halloween movie set in Ohio. Zombieland, think about it. The guy's name is Columbus, Ohio. Shout out to Columbus. And one of my favorites, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh yeah, Freddy is from Ohio. Now, I always joke around like, you go anywhere in the world, right? And you're traveling and you'll find someone from Ohio. And I love it. You know, my heart is in Ohio for all of you emo lovers out there. So this is a total Ohio love episode, and especially because I am from Ohio. But there is one urban legend that I'm sure most of you haven't heard of because I haven't even heard of it and I'm from Ohio. And it is the Melon Heads of Kirtland. There needs to be a movie about this, and that's why I set up like all these movies that happen in Ohio, because this is a really cool story, cool urban legend, and it's got like some really weird stuff going on with it, and I'm just trying to manifest a movie about this. Now, this urban legend kind of all revolves around this mysterious person named Dr. Crow. And when it comes to the urban legend, there are quite a few variations of the origins of the Melon Heads. And now, this area of Kirtland, Ohio, is a suburb of Cleveland. And for those of you who aren't sure, kind of like Ohio, Ohio is shaped like a heart, right? If you're looking at the heart, it's going to be pretty much the northeast corner of Ohio is where this is going to take place. Like I said, there are a few variations of the story. So I'm just going to go over a few of the variations and then, you know, kind of let you decide what you think is kind of like the most practical of these. Now, the first variation of this story of the Melon Heads of Kirtland comes from a story where the Dr. Crow was experimenting on and abusing children, and the experiments and abuse led to the children having bulbous and large melon-shaped heads from the sick and twisted experiments that he was performing on them. Now, after a while, when Dr. Crow fled the area away from his abominations that he created, the kids were left to fend for themselves in the woods, becoming feral cannibals in the area. And there are tons of forests in that area that they could have basically been left to be around and to kind of hide in. Because like I said, especially up around Cleveland, that area is pretty dense with forests. There's a lot of great state parks in that area. And that's actually where a lot of Bigfoot sightings happen as well. So you've got this dense forest area. You've got these kids that have basically these kind of abnormalities from all these sick and twisted experiments. And legend says that after these kids basically were left to fend for themselves, they became feral cannibals, kind of capturing anybody who was like going through the woods hiking or even small animals that were there, because apparently there's a lot of animal carcasses that are found in those areas that are just look like they've been mauled. So not saying it was these feral cannibal kids, but you know, something is definitely probably in those forests. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, obviously the feral cannibal kids ate the animal carcasses, but, you know, that is one of the legends that is the reason why these animal carcasses are mutilated, right? Now, there are other variations from the infamous Dr. Crow. And like I said, there are a lot of variations to this story and this urban legend. And it's kind of like, you know, when it comes to urban legends, it's kind of one of those things. It's like the game of telephone, right? Where you tell someone a story and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, I want to make this creepier. So I'm going to throw in that they're cannibals, right? Because what's more creepy than cannibals? Oh, the worst. And not to sidetrack, but I was on Reddit because I'm a total Reddit person. And I read a story about apparently there was a famine in Russia where this band of people got together and they became cannibals and they would like hunt children. So like the roles are reversed in this one, but that is definitely one I'll have to do an episode on, because I was kind of like floored when I saw pictures. I was like, this is really awful. So the moral of these stories, let's not eat other people and let's not maybe test on other people. Like, I don't know, just be good to each other. You know, we're the only humans in this universe. We should probably be good to each other, right? Okay, so back to the story. Sorry, I had to get my little my little random. I'm always on these little tangents of like random stuff where I'm like, ooh, what's a good topic? What's a good topic? And then I just go down the rabbit hole, and I'm you know, 2 hours later, I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, you know, like I said, there are other variations of the infamous Dr. Crow. Now, basically, the other side of the story is that the government was actually who was doing the testing on these children. The government was testing on these children outside of Cleveland, and while they were conducting tests, the craniums of the subjects began to expand and swell. Now, because of this, they needed to shut down the facility immediately, and then the children were left abandoned deep in the surrounding woods. Now, where Dr. Crow comes in this story is that the children found their way to a small little house in the middle of these woods where Dr. Crow and his wife supposedly lived. Now, there are variations of this story that say the children burned down the house with Dr. Crow in it. There are some variations that say Dr. Crow escaped while his wife, like, died, and they burned the house down because they were upset. Some stories say that he fled the area. Some say that he was inside and died inside of the thing. But either way, Dr. Crow exists in all of these stories. So I think that that's very interesting. Now, after I was doing my, like, little newspapers.com search, and I was like trying to figure out there's a Dr. Crow, you know, I was looking everywhere. I was like doing such a deep search of everything. Now, I did find that there is a Dr. Crow, a Dr. Etienne Crow, that lived around the Akron area. Now, this was in the newspaper. I'll have to post these. But he was in the 20s, in the 1920s, he was studying to be a doctor. And by the 40s, he was actually a doctor. So if that's the same Dr. Crow or not, we don't know. But it is kind of crazy that there is a Dr. Crow that was in that area that is documented in the newspaper. So if it's the same Dr. Crow or not, I don't know. It is kind of funny that the name of this, like, person is Dr. Crow, and crows are kind of like an omen, and, you know, supposedly like kind of like dark and full of like deathly omens. So I think that that's kind of fun. Basically, Dr. Crow is in both of these stories, and we do know that there is a Dr. Crow that existed right in this region. Now, who knows if it's him, but I think that that's pretty cool. Now, even to this day, there are stories of locals who have seen these children. Well, I guess they wouldn't be children now. They'd be kind of like grown up adults and probably like living off this grid as like feral creatures just repopulating, like almost like Hills Have Eyes, you know, because that's not terrifying enough. But lots of locals say that, you know, as they're driving down the road, they'll see something, you know, in their peripheral vision of their headlights, and they'll see like a small like human with like a crazy head. And, you know, there are lots of stories, like I said, about mutilated animals that are found in these areas. And actually the name of the Melonhead came to be after many locals had these sightings. And due to the swollen, abnormally shaped heads, they were given the nickname the melon heads to these creatures. So I think that that is very, very interesting. There have been sightings in Michigan and other surrounding states as well, too. So I think that that's really cool that these melon heads decided to not stick around Ohio. They wanted to travel a little bit, you know, see the world, see the Midwest, see what it has to offer. Maybe they made their way up to the UP of Michigan and enjoyed the scenery there because, you know, the woods are a very calm and serene place sometimes. And, you know, I like it. I like that they're trying to travel the world. Good for them. So that is the story of the melon heads of Kirtland. And like I said, it's a very interesting little urban legend. And I, you know, I had never heard of this. And I thought it was very, very cool to hear that this is an urban legend around the Cleveland area. So if you are listening and you are from around that area and you have anything you'd like to add about this legend or anything that I missed, please fill me in. I am always like, I always tell my husband, I'm like, I wish that I could just be a student for the rest of my life. Like I always loved school. I love it. I just love learning. And so if any of you can like drop some knowledge, I would love that too. So yeah. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this little urban legend of the melon heads. I kind of like these like little fun episodes where I can go through and just talk about one little urban legend because there are so many. And especially in Ohio, because like I said at the beginning of the episode, there are a lot of creepy things that happen in Ohio. I mean, over by where I live, even like for one of my past Campfire Tales episodes, like literally 5 minutes away from where I live, someone had told a story about a haunted golf course because it was actually built on some ancient burial mounds, which is actually, there was a lot of mound builders back in the earlier days in Ohio that settled here prior to, you know, any of the colonization that happened. And it is very interesting to think like there are just burial mounds scattered all around the state. In Columbus, there is a place called the Voss site, V-O-S-S, and it is a burial mound that is over in Battelle Darby Creek Metro Park, and you can go visit it, and there are tons. And like I said, the Serpent Mound is also one that's very, very cool, and I have yet to visit that, and I honestly, that is on my to-do list for 2024, right? I have to go visit it. I have to buy a drone because this thing is massive, and I really honestly just want to be like creative and have like drone footage of it. I don't know. As if I'm a filmmaker or something. But yeah, I love this. I love this urban legend. I think it's very crazy to think that, you know, this story about a Dr. Crow testing and having like sick experiments back in the day, you know, in the early 1900s on these children that caused them to kind of have these crazy, like huge bulbous heads. And there's different levels of sad to it, right? You've got human testing, which is never good. Like that's just so sad to do to another human. But then you add in that it's children and it's like a double whammy, right? So no wonder why these kids are, you know, going through and eating people. It's like children of the corn, but like children of the woods, right? Crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, if y'all have any cool urban legends like this around where you live, though, drop the line. I know where I grew up in Northwest Ohio, there are some legends of some cannibal caravans of people who had come through. And one of the places that is probably like 15 minutes, maybe like 10 minutes from where I grew up, there were legends of this area that was like a hill where these caravans would set up. And if people were like kind of like lost at night or walking through at night, they would take them and murder them and eat them. So there's lots of cannibal stuff in Ohio. It's kind of weird. But I guess if you're like thinking about like the creepiest and worst thing you can do to another human, it's being a cannibal, right? So I guess that's a way to make your story way more terrifying is add a cannibal in it. I mean, that's the moral of this story is just if you want to make your story terrifying, add a cannibal. But yeah, so like I said, if you all have any cool urban legends around your area that you'd like me to do like a fun little episode on, I would absolutely love that. I think urban legends are very, very cool. And I love talking about urban legends, like little stories. And even if they are real or aren't real, either way, I have fun talking about it. Now, other than doing some deep dives of the melon head urban legend, I have been trying to catch up on some horror movies that came out recently. I did watch a movie called Baghead. It's on Shudder, as well as You'll Never Find Me is another one that I watched on Shudder. But Baghead was actually a really fun movie. I was in need of like a good scary movie to watch, and it was pretty decent, and I really enjoyed it. And one thing I will say as like a disclaimer to myself is – Very rarely will you ever hear me talk about a movie and say that I hated it. There are a few movies that I feel like I just couldn't connect with in the past, but my dear friend Gabe Braxton, who is a brilliant screenwriter and director, he put things into perspective for me, and he said it's an honor to see indie films getting recognition. And I said, you know what? There is so much that goes into movie making. It's like, who am I to say that something isn't good? You know, that these are teams of people going through and creating something, and it's even down to the setting of, you know, the area that they're shooting, the costuming, the prop department. There's so much work that goes into making movies, and it's like, who am I to say that their work wasn't good? So that's why I am like, you know, I will always 100% say like something is enjoyable, because at the end of the day, as long as I don't turn it off, right, there's something that's keeping me there. There's something that's keeping me watching. So that is why I love movies. I love the art of cinema, and I love people getting together for these projects and coming together as a team and creating something. And, you know, at least they're creating something, because the world would be very bland without people telling their stories. So that's my little disclaimer. So like, I don't know. I just have so much appreciation for the craft of movie making, from, you know, the writing to, you know, making it come to life. And I think that that is something really special. And we need more of that. We need more people telling their stories, more people, you know, going out there and creating films. And it doesn't even have to be like a crazy, you know, budget. It doesn't even have to go out there and shoot on your iPhone. Like, you know, just go create something. And that's, you know, we need more of your stories out in the world. So now, other than watching Baghead and You'll Never Find Me, those two were really, really interesting, and both very different types of movies. I don't want to give away anything about You'll Never Find Me, because I think that one was a very suspenseful one that just kind of like is like a slow burn. I did rewatch The Deep House. And for those of you who know that I love diving, The Deep House is one that is so unsettling and so dark and just so creepy. It basically follows two divers going down into this house that is submerged in this lake. And then you add in the idea that you only have limited oxygen while you're diving. There are so many things that can go wrong while you're diving. And then you add in the creepiness of it. Oh, it's so good. So yes, so those are my three recommendations for this week. Baghead, You'll Never Find Me, and The Deep House. I've watched The Deep House like four times, and after I watched it, I was like, I need to watch something like happy, because that is so, so dark. But yeah, so yeah, other than that, like I said, if you all have any urban legends, or if you have any stories you'd like to share for a future episode of Campfire Tales, I would love to hear about them. You can go to campcryptidhorrorpodcast.com. There is a little contact section where you can leave your message about your story, and they don't have to be urban legends. It can be anything from like you seeing a cryptid to you were in the Bermuda Triangle and something weird happened. It can be anything weird and spooky, or even if you have movie recommendations that you think I need to watch, please drop them there. So I'm very excited because Small Town Monsters, which is also out of Ohio, I love that there are Ohio people just out there making all of these amazing movies. They have a brand new documentary coming out about the Skinwalkers American Werewolves that's coming out, and I'm very excited. I love Small Town Monsters stuff. I've been an avid participant in their Kickstarters. I've actually done a couple executive producer spots for some of their Bigfoot stuff, and I'm very excited because they do a great job going through the lore and the stories and talking to people who have had sightings. And like I said, they are also from Ohio. So I felt like with my urban legend of the Kirtland Melonheads, I thought this is perfect because we have some Ohio representation today in today's episode. So if you have never heard of Small Town Monsters and you love cryptids, I highly, highly, highly recommend their documentaries. They have tons all about anything from Bigfoot to Grassman to werewolves. The Goat Man is, I think, one of the new ones. They have a plethora of topics that you can watch, and they're super well done. They travel all around to kind of get everyone's stories and to compile them all, and they do a really great job. So hell yeah to that. We love that. We are here for cryptids, and we are here for spooky urban legends, and I love it. So yeah, if you haven't heard of Small Town Monsters, definitely go check them out. They're great to follow on social media. And they always do Kickstarters every year for tons of topics, and I love it. And speaking of Kickstarters, if you are a fan of illustrators and artists, Sean Forney, one of my dear friends who is also an illustrator, he does amazing comic book art. He is actually doing a Kickstarter as well his little cryptid Kickstarter. So I'll definitely make sure to post these in the comments below on YouTube and everything in the description so you guys can check all these out. But, you know, I'm just trying to broaden all of the cryptid talk and all of the love on cryptids, because I just love that cryptids are getting so popular lately, and I love that people are embracing the weirdness of the world, and it is just something I love. Oh, I need more of it. But yeah, so that is today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I know I kind of get off on little tangents, but honestly, this is like, I just try to keep everything casual and fun and try to make it like we're just having a conversation and you all are like talking to me. So I'm sorry. I apologize in advance for how, I don't know, how unhinged I am, I guess. But yeah, well, hey, I hope you're having an amazing week so far, and I hope you are having some good food and enjoying some great weather. I know the weather has been crazy the past couple of weeks for everybody all over the world, and I'm sending nothing but sunshine and love and sending you good food. That's my thing. Y'all know I love me some food, but... Yeah, well, thanks so much for listening to another episode. The next episodes this month are going to be on American sea creatures, because that is what won the poll on Patreon. And real quick too, y'all, I do have a Patreon for Camp Cryptid, and you can follow for absolutely free. There is no pressure to sign up for any of the tiers. I do have two tiers, and one is just so you get episodes early and get some more behind the scenes stuff. And then the other one is a sticker club where I make little stickers every month. And then if you're on that tier, you get a little sticker for the month. That's pretty fun. But yeah, but make sure to follow for free, especially if you just want to like hang out and be, you know, part of the community. I think it's a lot of fun. And I've been modeling for 10 years now. And, you know, with any job, you know, you fall into like this thing where you're like, ugh, it just gets kind of like old and repetitive. But I really want to say like Camp Cryptid is like really honestly like brought me to life. I don't know. I look forward to doing all the weird research, and I've always been one that watches a ton of horror, and it's just really given me like, I don't know. I just really love it. So it just makes me, it like makes me so happy, and it pumps me up. It pumps me up so much that people enjoy these episodes and y'all just hang out with me for the weird spookiness. So I really appreciate it. So yeah, with that being said, have an amazing rest of your week. And until next time, take care.